Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. New book today, Zephaniah. Zephaniah in the Hebrew tongue means hidden of Yahweh or hidden by Yahweh. It's talking about God's election, okay? He does have them hidden. When all the destruction of the wicked ones takes place, God covers and hides those that love him, whereby they're not even singed. They're not harmed. Why? Because God loves them. So that makes this a real special book. And we hear quite a bit about destruction, but you have to understand who it is God wishes to destroy on the face of this earth. And then it makes a lot more sense to you. Okay, Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father. I might say this was written probably about 515 B.C., about that time. It was before the captivity. Verse 1, and it reads, "The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of," and this is spelled a little different than usual, but it's Hezekiah, okay? In other words, he was the great-great-grandson of Hezekiah, being of the royal seed, okay? "In the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah." That's when it came to pass, and stage is set, and so it is. Verse 2, "I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord." This, of course, is future. It hasn't happened yet. And we know that at the seventh trump, when Christ returns, and even through the millennium, and then things are, all the rudiments are done away with. That's to say, that is evil. God never harms those that love him. You've heard me mention it many times. This is the reason you have the example in the book of Daniel of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they were in that fiery furnace, and Christ was walking with them, and they weren't even singed. So it is that the example set forth, that wherever you are, then certainly God takes care of you. But you have to remember also, as we cover this destruction and change, at the seventh trump, what happens to these flesh bodies? Good, bad, somewhere in between, it doesn't matter. They're all changed instantly in a twinkle of an eye into spiritual bodies. So even the flesh itself is done away with at that seventh trump and at that time of cleansing, for God is a consuming fire. But again, I rush to say, God will not harm those he loves. Okay, or I could correct that by saying those that love him and follow him. Verse 3, "I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks which the wicked," notice the stumbling blocks mentioned, "and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord." In other words, the idols are the stumbling block. False teachings are the stumbling blocks. False teaching causes many people to stumble because they will put their faith and trust in the traditions of man rather than putting them in the Word of Almighty God. How precious our Father is that He gives us His Word, His understanding, and we thank him for that. Okay. Verse 4. "I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Kimarims, with the priest." In other words, Kimarims is an old black robe priest. It was one of these robes that got Achan in much trouble in the valley of Achan, that is to say. Much trouble for hanging on to the garments of false teaching and false religion. Father doesn't want that. Father wants you to pay attention to him and his word and the simplicity in which God himself puts that and brings that forth. How precious it is that our Father brings that forth. You know, we always know that judgment begins at the pulpit. And these people claim to be priests. Okay, but they're not priests of God, though they claim to be. There's going to be a great cleansing coming down the road. You know, when you teach, you want to make certain that you teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And let it be God that speaks. Let it be God's voice, not the voice of some man, this man or any other man. Always listen to the word of God. And you can't go astray that way. Okay? But when God said, I'm going to consume, back in verse 3, he said, I'm going to sweep it all clean. And that's what he's going to do. And praise God. You know, it's time for a cleansing. All of this land needs a cleansing. We're getting like Sodom and Gomorrah again. And Father doesn't like it. And there's a cleansing and a sweeping coming. And our Father knows exactly how to do it. He knows how to get rid of fake preachers also. That's what the Kimarims are, okay? Right with the priests that would be otherwise. Verse 5. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malchus. A lot of people say, well, what's wrong with that? They're worshiping the host of heaven. It is a gross sin. What is the host of heaven? It's angels. Angels worship is a terrible sin. Okay. You can believe in angels, for there are protecting angels, but you do not worship them. You'll remember that both Daniel and John were very sternly corrected when they began to worship a messenger when they fell down before him, and he says, get up from there. I'm a man just like you are. Okay. So you do not worship the host of heaven. You worship Almighty God, your Father. Okay. What is this business here that swear by the Lord? They claim to swear by Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. And they swear by Malchus. Malchus, you know what that means in the Hebrew tongue, King God. It is also a form of Molochism. And you know you don't want to go there, because Molochism is where you sacrifice your own children to the fire. A lot of people do that in ignorance when they tell their own children, God's going to burn you up if you don't change your ways. Okay. Because God would rather correct with love and understanding, and to help the children, to take care of the children. And it, as he would say in another place, it never entered my mind that you would sacrifice your children. That's not God's way of doing things. Verse 6. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. Who is that? Apostasy. The great apostasy that takes place in this earth in one instant. Well, what does the word apostasy mean? It means someone changing their beliefs and religion in one wink, just one instant. Well, how could that be? Because people are taught that Christ is coming to carry them away. That's the message of Antichrist. In the moment that those churchgoers that have been studying under the Kimarims and those priests that teach traditions of man, the moment that he appears in the last days, they're going to worship him rather than the true Christ. Why? Because they're ignorant. They don't know the difference. They haven't been taught. And that's a shame. I certainly take no pleasure in that. That is one of the reasons that you always, as often as you can, teach that truth, teach that word of God, whereby that word can go forth, and they can hear, they can understand, they can know. Okay. Apostasy will come. Verse 7. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Do you know what the day of the Lord is? It's a 1,000-year period. Be not ignorant of this one thing, as it is written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years with man. That is the Lord's day. It's coming. For the Lord's day is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guest. He has chosen or separated his guest. Well, who is that? The hidden ones, the elect. When is this? A time period is given there. When does the Lord's day begin? At the seventh trump, the last trump. Okay. If you're familiar with the great book of Revelation, you know exactly what's going down at that time, because you have the seal of God in your forehead that lets you recognize those events, and that time sequence is set in motion. And you know that that is the time for the change of bodies. That, as it is written in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. And so it is that our Father, on that Lord's Day, makes a clean sweep. He has prepared, chosen, and bid his guests to a wedding. And they will be those that have not worshipped the false Christ. They're still spiritually virgins. They were not seduced or deceived by the false Messiah who came at the sixth trump. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Now, you've been given the time period here. What is the correct apparel to have on at that time? Especially at that time. That is to say, at the seventh trump. It's the gospel armor. Okay. And you'd better have the helmet of salvation. You better have declared that you love our Father, and that you are a saved one, and you better have that shield out in front of you, which is Christ. But also, you know what the gird is? The gird is your belt that holds your breeches up. And do you know what that belt is, or girt is, in the gospel armor? It's the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God sealed in up here, you're going to lose your breeches. And that's a sad state of affairs, okay? That's why some will enter heaven naked, for they have no righteous acts. And that's why it's so important that you not be placed in that place, but that you love your Father. You know, that's why He created you, is to give Him pleasure. Well, what pleasures Him? You telling Him that you love Him, by following Him, by absorbing this letter that He has sent to you, giving the warning, just as we learned in the last book of Habakkuk, make this sign and make it big and cry that warning out to everyone. The true Father's returning, but the fake's coming first. Do not be deceived. So, naturally, strange apparel. You remember in Christ's teachings when He had the wedding all set and looks over and here's an old boy sitting there in strange apparel, and He threw him into hell. You don't want to go there. You want to love your Father, and you want to be ready for that event. Verse 9. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their masters' houses with violence and deceit. This loses a little in the translation because of the time element involved. At the time of the writing, the nobles sometimes would have people that they would send out to steal things from other nobles' homes. I like to refer it back to sheep stealers. They try to steal sheep from another man's pasture with false teaching. A true shepherd would never do that. A true shepherd has his own sheep pass under the rod, that is to say, the staff of God, knowing the truth and knowing right from wrong. But more than knowing right from wrong, choosing those that do right rather than wrong. And so it is that our Father is, he does not like those that practice this deceit. Certainly what they are servants of Malcolm. They don't see anything wrong with stealing, with lying, and with misleading. So make sure that that you know that when you do teach and spread truth, that it's exactly that. Or guess who's responsible? Verse 10. And it shall come to pass in that day. Now what again? What day is this? The Lord's day. Saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a city from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. What hill is that? Mount of Olives. Because what happened, you know, you could read Zechariah 14. We'll be getting there in a few days. What happens on the Lord's day on the Mount of Olives? Christ's feet touch that Mount of Olives and it splits away from across the valley of Kedron right to the east gate of the temple. It means the true Christ is returned. And there won't be one stone left standing atop another of the palace that Satan has built there, imaginary and or otherwise. God knows how to take care of his own. God leads, God directs. It is important. You know, God is giving us an account here of what happens on the Lord's Day and just preceding, down to every letter, whereby you won't be deceived, whereby nothing will catch you off guard. That's how good that our Father is to us. How precious it is to have the seal of God in your forehead, whereby you're not deceived. Quite frankly, with the simple common sense that God utilizes to help his children. Verse 11, howl ye inhabitants of Mikdash, and for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. Mikdash is a mortar. Do you know what a mortar is? That's you. Many of you have seen us on documentaries. We find these holes in a rock where they beat grain into flour, where things are beat into shape. Okay, well, a lot of people, scholars, think, well, there is a valley very near this place, and there is a hollow there that kind of resembles a mortar. But I think we would miss if we did not understand what happens to the merchants. You know, when they stand there, as it is written back in Amos 8, with unbalanced scales, unfair scales, robbing people, selling molding grain, and things of that nature, that our Heavenly Father intends to see that that is made right. It's not going to happen. And he has his own mortar that he does some grinding in. Okay? Verse 12. And it shall come to pass at that time, not maybe, not perhaps, it's going to happen, that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees. That's to say in sin, deep sin, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. You know what that is? That's an atheist. Or it's someone that's just not a believer, really, that's... It's been the same ever since the beginning of time. It's not going to happen. Oh, hang on, friend. And you better have a girt, or it's about to happen. You're about to lose everything. Our Father does not tolerate those that mock him, and that is mocking Almighty God. What a dangerous thing. What an unpleasant place to be. And those that claim there is no God, and those that want the name of God removed from all of our documents, atheists, in other words, boy, are they in for a big awakening. You know, I have noticed a thing in all my years of teaching, that atheists, usually, they're pretty good thinkers. And many times, they know more scripture than a lot of kind of average Christians. I didn't say students or scholars. But just the average Christian, they know more scripture than they do. This is why when usually they see they've got the old death sentence or they get in a hard shape, that there's a lot of conversions go on. And I know this from experience, and I'm certainly not calling names or pointing anyone out, but it is a true fact. And God hastened the day. And those that would hang out and try to do harm to little children by removing from them hope and trust and the love of Almighty God, they deserve to go to hell. Okay, they can rob themselves, but don't try to rob little children. Don't try to rob them of happiness. For the only, as there are many surveys being taken at this time, is who is the most happy, conservatives or liberals, and naturally it's conservatives because they're Christian. Okay, and Christian people are happier than other people. Why? Because they have that hope and that love and that knowledge and trust in Almighty God. And they know that God takes care of His own. And so God will search Jerusalem. It will come to pass. And as I stated, God does take care of His own. Let's have the next verse, please. Verse 13. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. In other words, the end has come. We're at the seventh trump here. Okay. Not that much time left. Not going to do them any good. Okay. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. Two times for emphasis. And hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Even the strong man shall cry there bitterly if he's allowed himself to be deceived. But that's where you don't want to be. I mean, Father has given you warning after warning after warning. You know, you want to pay good, close attention to the current events of this generation. We're moving into a time that certain things are aligning with prophecy that lets us know just how it is near, how important that is. Verse 15, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And of course, darkness is always of Satan. That day of desolation is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the Antichrist standing in the holy place claiming to be God where he ought not be. Mark chapter 13, documented from Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It's not going to be that bad a day for us. It's a day to rejoice. But for those that miss the mark, it will be just about one day too late. Too late, Charlie. You missed the boat. Well, I always said it was not going to happen. Well, it's going to. And if you wait till that day, you're going to be in a heap of hurt. Father thought well enough that he sent us this letter of warning to let us know exactly how it's going down. It's the plan of the day. And it's going to happen that way. You can check it out and you will find it is accurate, an accurate report right to the letter. Verse 16, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Now, what trumpet would that be? Now, you see, that would be a strange question for a student of God's Word to ask. He just told you it's the Lord's Day. Well, what trumpet would it be? The seventh, of course. The last. And what happens at the last trump? Go back and reread 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. The farthest trump out is what the Greek states. We will all be changed into spiritual bodies in a wink of an eye. And God takes over. And that is wicked will be in bad shape. Those that love the Lord will be blessed. God has called a feast, a wedding feast. And if you have an invitation, you're very fortunate indeed. It would mean that you were not deceived. It would mean that you had the gospel armor on and in place, and you stood against the great apostasy that's going to come at the sixth trump. You see, we know what happens at the seventh, but it's what happens at the sixth trump that you want to make double sure. For he has warned you the conditions that will be, the deception, as like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. And look around you today. Look around you today. Verse 16. I'm sorry, we got 16. Let's go with 17. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. And naturally, you know what that is. You're not blind. You have eyes to see, and you have ears to hear. And how precious it is that our Father blesses you. We thank our Father for that. You know, it will be a day of distress, but for us, a day of pleasure. How is it that they're blinded? Well, God blinded some of them, as it's written in Romans chapter 11. And he blinds them for their own benefit, to protect them, that they wouldn't have the brass to stand against the false one without being deceived, even when they knew who it was. That way they will be taught in the millennium. That's not a second chance. They didn't have a chance coming out the gate. We have people in this world today that their backbone is not all that rigid. And Father loves all of his children, and he has places for them. Verse 18, to complete this chapter. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. And as we said, God is a consuming fire. It is that time for a change. And if you get real concerned about just exactly who it is that are done away with at that time, you might want to read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For this earth age is not destroyed by water, as the first one was, but it's destroyed by fire. And God is that consuming fire, but the fire only destroys the elements. That word elements in the Greek is stanchion, and it means the rudiments, or that is wicked in the world. It's all done away with. But the good remains. Why? Because God told us we would. Follow me and you will be safe. My strength is in Almighty God. God will always protect us. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. And he will not. But, hey, those that stand against the Father are going to be in for a great shaking, a big change up. And you have nothing to worry about. You know, there's some pretty serious warnings in that place, and it would be frightening if you didn't understand that all bodies are, even the wicked, are changed into spiritual bodies. The flesh is done away with. It's swept clean. And quite frankly, flesh brings on a lot of sin. And during the millennium, when everyone is in spiritual bodies, it will be a lot easier to speak to people and lead people and talk to people and teach people, as it is written in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, priest with Christ 1,000 years. That means teachers with Christ 1,000 years to help a lot of people. And those people at that time will listen, because Satan will be locked in the abyss. Going to turn him loose for a while. A little testy. God doesn't take anyone that's untested. They got to do it on their own. They got to be hoss enough at that time to stand up against Satan. and love Almighty God. That's not, I have difficulty finding out why anybody wouldn't find it easy to love our Father and stand against Satan. I really do. Chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. In other words, you better get yourself in one wad, those that are not desired by God or anyone else. Verse 2. Before the decree bring forth and before the day pass as the chaff, before the furious anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Two times for emphasis. It is coming. And you better know it and understand it. For the Lord's day is very near. What happens on that day? He pours out that cup of wrath. And if he loves you, you're in good shape. But if he's angry at you, you got trouble. You got hurt. Verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. That's to say humbleness, okay? It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now don't read over that sentence. It may be that you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Do you realize that in the Hebrew tongue you have the name Zephaniah there? Hidden in Yahweh. You got it? That's where you need to be. That's where you want to be. Is hidden in Almighty God, because He knows how to protect you. He knows how to care for you. Don't miss the next lecture. We talk a little bit about Gaza and what's transpiring there. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination. Let's don't judge people. I know it may sound God's word is judgmental, and it can, because God is a judge. But we don't judge people. All you do is teach God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and you let those chips fall wherever they may. Never, never, never apologize for the word of God. It's always good to hear from you. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Got a prayer request? Don't need that number. Don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He does. You don't even have to say it out loud. What does He want from you? He loves you. May not love what you're doing, but He does love you. Do you understand that when He created you, you're unique? You've got different fingerprints, different DNA. He wanted someone just like you. But He wanted you to love Him. That's for sure. Let Him know that you love Him. He's done a lot for you if you just accept the fact that on repentance, all of our sins are washed away. We have that new leaf, that hope. The Father takes care of His own. Don't ever forget that. Okay, let's go to His throne. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. I'm going to go with Chris from Florida. What is Grove Worship? Also, can a bad spirit come into a Christian's dreams and make him or her have a bad dream? Well, our flesh bodies are good enough at that. We have five senses. Some people have more. If for example, if a room we're in gets too warm, that little sensory of which is your backbone, your central nervous system, is going to say, "I'm hot." And you're going to start dreaming about hot fire or something of that nature. It's the flesh itself. If you're real hungry, the flesh is going to say, "If you don't stop doing what you're doing, I'm going to starve. I'm going to die." So you have to learn to control the flesh, all right? Take charge. But a bad spirit can, but it's very unusual. If you're a Christian, it's not going to happen. They're afraid of you. Okay, what is grove worship? Grove worship is where people left the temple, and they had a ritual early in the spring called Ishtar, and they rolled eggs of fertility, and there were sexual rites carrying on in the forest, acts of fertility, and quite ungodly, and also the little bunny or quick like a rabbit. Okay, all these little things wrapped up into grove worship, and unfortunately, it moved itself into the church at Christ's resurrection, which is a sad, sad state of affairs. But it happened because some preachers like to build crowds instead of teach truth. David from Missouri, from Missouri. I've been wanting to ask for a long time, if our country happens to change our laws, like changing to do away with our Second Amendment, and our country says give up your guns or go to jail, are we to obey it? Or do we stand and fight like a... Well, you don't have... that's not going to happen, number one, okay? There are certain cities that it might have permits against someone not having weapons. Move if they do. I wouldn't live in a place where I couldn't have my weapons, okay? But we have... thank goodness it's beginning to be more liberal about having license to carry, or the right to carry concealed weapons. Every state that this happens in, the crime rate goes way down. You know, there's one thing criminals hate is to have a citizen armed. You know, there's nothing, there is no fun in getting your head blowed off. Okay, so that kind of takes the edge off of robbing, getting the joy of robbing someone's house. So it's not going to happen, but... be that as it may, the Lord would return before that day would ever happen. Eula from Tennessee, I am concerned about this war in Gaza. I have always thought the United States should always back Israel. What is the truth on this? Well, I don't think Israel needs our help. Israel seems to be doing pretty good all on their own. And naturally... if it were a case where it was needed, we would. They don't need us. Okay? Hamas has one thing. They like to destroy Americans and Israelis and people that are Christian nations, democracies, because they want things to turn to their way. It's pretty difficult. I was very disappointed to understand that our so-called president-elect is wanting to talk to Hamas. Now, what could they say? They just want to kill us. What are you going to say to them? I'll leave the back door open tonight? You know, it gets a little bit ridiculous when you play politics and you get up high enough that you're supposed to have responsibility and you forgot to check in somewhere down the line for responsibility. Henry from Arkansas. In all your years of teaching, have you ever changed your opinion of a teaching and start to teach it differently? No, I haven't. You know why? Because have I added more depth to the word? Yes. Because the word is pregnant. As time goes on, it grows and it grows and it grows. I always, each time I teach a book, I don't even know how many times I've taught the Word of God through. But each time I always try to add another truth to the research. I will not call necessarily attention to that because it's the Word of God. But if you do your homework and you stick with the Word of God rather than man's traditions, it doesn't change. There's no way it can change, especially if you're a student of the Masorah, because the Masorah locks the word in, whereby man can't change it. And man might say, well, how could that be? Well, because in the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Aramaic, just as it is in the English, some words have more than one meaning. And the translators of the King James Version from those languages forementioned, they wrote a letter to the student or the reader thereof to think. And that's what you want to do. Sometimes you may bring both meanings. An example, we have. If I were to say, this is what the Masorah does. I'll Englishize it so that it would be easier understood. It would say, my boat is fast. Okay. Now, what does that mean in English? Does it mean my boat is fast, speedy on the water? Does it mean my boat is stuck fast in the mud? Or my boat is tied fast to the dock? Okay. Well, the Masorah says in the minor and the major. The minor basically tells you if a word is left out and missing. The major at the bottom tells you the boat's tied to the dock. Okay. So that man can't mess with it. Now, don't ask me what scripture and verse that is, because I made it up, you know, and Englishized it so you could understand what the Masorah does. It locks the word in where man can't change it. And a student of that would pretty well be solid in the Word of God, and that's as it should be. Okay. Does that mean that you know more than anyone else? No, it doesn't. It means you stick with God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Okay. Because God is not wrong. Okay. John from Oklahoma. My wife died a year ago. We're sorry to hear that. Will we be husband and wife on the other side? They do not give or take in marriage on the other side, but you will remember each other as husband and wife, and you will be very, very close. Documentation, Ezekiel chapter 44, in the millennium, you may help a wife, brother, mother, so forth. Okay? Meaning you would know each other. And be very close. Dorothy from North Carolina. Where is it written in the Bible to not build house onto house? I thank you so much for your teaching. Love you. Thank you for the comment. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8. Woe to those that join house onto house. It's like if you have a barrel of apples. You put one bad apple in that barrel, and if you're not careful, it'll turn the whole barrel bad. And so it is when man joins house onto house too close. Disease spreads easier. Man can't breathe or have as much room as he would like to have. Country folks are hard pressed, and country folks really appreciate Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8, and because of that fact that crime isn't as bad. You move house on, join house on to house. Crime gets bad. It runs amok, you know. But you need room to live, to breathe, and to enjoy God's creation. That's what it has to do with. I know that some people have to live that way, and if you're happy with it, fantastic. Gwen from Mississippi, will you please pronounce and explain Balak? It means spoiler, okay. And he was king of the Moabites, and he tried to hire Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam's mule had different ideas because God thought the animal was smarter than the man and had the animal talk to him. Howard from Tennessee. I work as a personal trainer about 15 hours a week at a local gym. I am certified. Concerning Deuteronomy 24:13 through 16, some clients can pay and some clients can't pay. Am I doing wrong by charging some and not others? I charge very little. I'm retired and do this for part time. It's your gift. Okay. And if somebody is in need and they need your help to be healthy, then it is your gift to them. No, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm sure that a person that can't afford it would not object to you helping someone that was in straits. Okay. Teresa from Missouri. Please prove or disprove a rumor that's going around. It has been said that Christ will return in the year 2012. How did man come up? Well, it was, you know, there is a calendar that ends in South America in 2012. And a lot of people believe that that's a sign that it's going to. Nobody knows when the end's going to be. It might be a long time before 2012. We are watchmen, and as it is written in Mark chapter 13, not even Christ knew when he was in the flesh. He does now, of course, but when in the flesh, did not know when the end was. Only the Father, and we are watchmen, and he gives us all types of signs, and to the point that we can recognize the season. And we're in that season. We're in the parable of the fig tree. And that's all we're ever going to know. There is only one time when you see the two witnesses die in the streets of Jerusalem, the patha it is called. Christ will return in 3 days. That you can know. That's why it's important that you be familiar with the word. Then you know, basically. You know also now from Revelation chapter 9 that when the one world system is set up and is operating, Christ will return in 5 months. Well, how could we know that? It's written. Okay. He does let us know that. That's why it's important that you know the word. But then as watchmen, we wait for those events to transpire. And certainly that identifies it. Jonathan from Oklahoma. If Moses and Elijah are the two witnesses, will they be known or called by the same name? Well, it's the same people. Those two. I know a lot of people disagree with me. It is written that Moses died, but God would never let anyone else bury him, as you'll read in Deuteronomy 33. Okay. God wouldn't let man touch him. God took him. Just like he did Enoch. Okay. God took him, and Elijah went up in a vehicle. Okay, so I do not believe they died in the reason that Moses died. That is to say, and therefore, it will be the same two that will return. They are super. They have supernatural abilities because it is Moses. What does Moses represent? The law. What does Elijah represent? The prophets. So you have the law and the prophets tied up in the two witnesses. And quite frankly, we don't have any other witness other than law and the prophets. They tell us everything. But naturally, there would be no need in changing their names, is what I'm saying, if that were to be the two witnesses. No one has a double guarantee that they are. I say that they have a strong possibility of being because they are the two that showed up with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Pauline from Alabama. Thank you so much for your time. You are so welcome. What book in the Bible can I find when Jesus was conceived and where he was born? Well, Luke chapter 1, but you have to have a little help if you're not familiar with the Hebrew calendar as far as the course of Abijah. There were 24 courses. They came to pass two times a year for a priest. That's when he had his duty at the temple. Zacharias, which was Elizabeth's husband, he was a priest of the course of Abijah. And when he was serving that course of Abijah, which is a date, okay, that he was told that his wife Elizabeth would conceive. She was an older woman, okay, too old really to conceive. But it was the angel Gabriel that told him. And when he went home, she did conceive. And when that baby was 6 months old in her womb, Mary was approached by the angel, and it was the day of conception. So the conception took place 6 months after Zacharias' course of Abijah, which is December the 25th. That's the day of conception. And he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles, circumcised the eighth day. Your appendix 179 in your companion Bible helps you with that. Kathy from Texas. I am thinking that Goliath was a Geber. I am confused because Noah's flood was supposed to get rid of all the Geber. Goliath appeared after the flood. There was a second influx. I allude to the Companion Bible a great deal, but that's the reason I do. There's 179 appendix in the back of the Bible of deep, rich study that helps one be informed on the Word of God. But there is an appendix on giants, and you'll see and documented there was a second influx. But we took care of business. It's all right. Demayot from Missouri. Well, that's a pretty name. My name is Demayot. I am 10 years old. I watch your program with my grandmother. My question is, what kind of food did they eat during Jesus' time? Well, pretty much what we eat today. Only he would never eat scavengers or anything of that nature, and went by God's health laws. Thank you for the question. Patricia from Oregon. I have a question concerning tithes. I earn $1,000. I'm not going to go into the figures, and I'm sending 10%. Is this right? Could you give me chapter and verse concerning tithes? Well, usually, you know, I speak very little about tithes because it's a person's personal business, okay? But the book of Malachi, we'll be teaching it real soon. And in chapter 2, it gives you a great deal. Also, chapter and verse about death and our spiritual soul going to heaven to our Father instantly. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. When the clay pot breaks, that's our flesh body. The silver cord parts, that's the part that holds our soul within this body. Instantly, our spirit, which is the intellect of our soul, returns to the Father that gave it. Okay, and this flesh goes back to dust from which it came. We're through with it. We never see it again. But I thought we were supposed to resurrect. That's what it's talking about. You resurrect in the spiritual body. You're out of here. You're gone. You're not out here in some hole in the ground. Eddie from Texas. May God bless you. I have a question. Would you explain John 11 through 14? Was Lazarus a spirit with our Heavenly Father when Jesus raised him back from the dead? Everything that Jesus did was to teach and prove a point. Okay. Naturally, he was with the Father. But this event transpired so that we would know. I mean, when Lazarus came forth from that tomb, he was still bound from head to toe in the grave wrappings. He floated out of there, okay? He didn't walk out. And then on coming back, it was to document what? That Christ was Messiah. and that he had victory over death. And so it is. That's how we, that's why you don't die. You instantly go to the Father when this old clay body quits. And so it is. Seth from Pennsylvania. Was the Gospel of Mark written first before Matthew, like Luke and John? Could the Gospel of Mark be a sermon possibly given by Peter? Oh, absolutely not. Just by Mark, John. Mark is a Latin name, but his real name was John, Mark John. Okay, but he was a young lad, and he followed the gospel, the apostles around. His book was not written until about 63 A.D., so it was after some of them. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all a bunch because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Makes Father's Day when you study the letter He has sent to you. When you make His day, guess what? He's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? When you bless God, He will always bless you. But there's one thing that's really most important, and I want you to listen to me. It's this. In your life, every day, you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.